Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our program. Today's has the theme of hidden energy, which is the title of an article by Felicity Elliott, who's the chief editor of the magazine, and was featured in the September 2021 issue of Share International magazine. And it's an interview with Jean Manning. Jean Manning is an author and investigator of new science who set herself the task of exploring some hidden, or perhaps not so hidden, secrets of the universe. She wanted to discover what lies beneath the surface of things. She had intimations that there's more to life and to nature than a superficial look might suggest. Her open-hearted and open-minded approach to life is to observe closely and then to dare to ask, what if? She's a superb translator of what otherwise could be inaccessible science. In her latest book, co-authored with Susan Manowich and titled Hidden Energy, Tesla-inspired Inventors and a Mindful Path to Energy Abundance, she opens up a new world to the reader. What we learn is that we could clean up our planet and create a brilliant, new, healthful and harmonious civilization within our lifetime. Felicity Elliott interviewed Jean Manning for Share International in April 2021, and unfortunately, due to time restrictions, we won't be able to read the full article. And the first question from Felicity is, you have been investigating hidden energy for a few decades. Yes, actually it was 40 years ago that I met the first inventor investigating the universe's hidden energy or life force. Could you tell us how you got into that field of investigation? Were you skeptical at first? I tried to keep a skeptical attitude, but I found myself getting enthusiastic because I saw that the inventors I was meeting were really on to something. My life up to then seemed to lead to this development and steered me in that direction. I happened to be in the right place at the right time quite often to meet people. And ecology and social justice also are subjects close to my heart. I majored in sociology in university because of the social justice issues which were so important to me. The first inventor I met was really a kind of a teacher. He certainly inspired me about the possibilities of tapping into a form of energy that is not recognised by today's textbooks, but is very real. Anyone who has immersed themselves in nature might also have sensed its influence on all life. And the next question from Felicity. As you may know, Benjamin Krem was the founding editor of Share International. It started life mainly to present his information about the return to the world of a group of highly advanced people who are the inspirers behind our new science, our medical breakthroughs, art and creativity in all fields, new technology and so on, everything that helps civilization advance. The magazine also set out to be as broad and inclusive as possible and bring together the political, the economic, and the spiritual to help redefine these areas of life. As you can see, what you are saying and conveying in your book chimes very much with what Share International is saying. Your work is fascinating, and you've made everything so available and clear for the reader. The implications of what you have researched and present are extraordinarily important for us all. Please tell me more about your first inventor teacher and how things progressed. And Jean Manning's reply, that inventor was able to talk about potentials for using magnetism in just one of the varieties of breakthrough inventions. That's just one of the ways of tapping into the background energy of the universe. I was introduced to him by someone saying that this man had the answer to the world's need for clean energy technology. He had insights about what could be done, and his approach involved magnetism. At that time, the new super powerful magnets were just starting to come out. It was not just my interest in ecology and cleaning up the environment. The spiritual aspect also caught my interest. He was looking for a way to describe this background energy of the universe, which seemed to be coming into his machine, to allow it to put out more power than he had put in from the electrical grid or from batteries. He approached philosophical groups in his town to see if they had the answers. An esoteric group did talk about prana, the life force that courses through the universe, not just in our bodies. Over the years, I've met inventors who have built machines and approached the matter in various ways that are different from the standard methods. We as a society are still basically building electrical motors and generators in old ways, using old models. That has served vested interests because then people don't have energy freedom. You have to live in fear that you may not have enough money to pay the energy bills. And the next question from Felicity. So there is something which we call free energy or hidden energy or prana, etheric and other similar words. I take it when you're referring to hidden energy that you're referring to this source of infinite energy, some life energy which is available for all, if we find a clean way to tap into it, use it and work with it. In Jean Manning's reply, yes, the title of the book can have several meanings. It can be, as you said, a reference to the background energy of the universe that the ancients called the ether, but it can also refer to the hidden energy coursing through our bodies. That relates to how we could be working with that life force in our healthcare. Hidden energy also relates to the energy of synergy, about people working together and realizing that they are interconnected. And it definitely refers to the hidden power that lies in each of us that is beyond what is recognized by the materialistic worldview. In my life, I've had it proven to me through experience that we really are more powerful as beings than we've been told. And the power of our thoughts is enormous in the world. So these are the sorts of things that are possible for humanity. I'd like to come back to what you've just mentioned. Social injustices, a lot of them, come on a physical level from the energy technologies that we're using. Underlying that, and more importantly, relating to our thoughts, is the whole big belief in scarcity, that there's not enough to go around. And therefore, too many people conclude that social injustice is inevitable, because otherwise we're going to be having a lower lifestyle if we're going to take care of all those people over there who don't have enough. And that is not the reality. The universe is all about beneficial abundance. Maybe we're not tapping into it yet because of the scarcity thinking, which creates antagonism to the other. We see the other as a threat to our lives, when in reality, there's enough for everybody if we're responsibly using what the world has to offer humankind and what the universe has to offer in terms of energy abundance. And the next question from Share International. The strange paradox is that while we have the idea of scarcity and therefore also competition, greed and separation built into the system, that puts the opportunity to cooperate and be communal at a seemingly unachievable distance from us. It's also a barrier to synergy. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, the paradox is that our current economic systems have this inbuilt, bizarre myth of growth, constant economic growth in a finite system. We think this is possible, whereas it is quite clearly totally illogical. And now the idea is growing that we can go to some other planet and exploit its resources. What you're talking about is the exact opposite, that we have to move into a cleaner, lighter, less polluting form of generating energy. And Jean Manning's reply, yes, we need a shift into a different way of thinking, not just a different technology. We also have to be concerned about the folly of producing more and more products. That's not abundance in the sense of being in harmony with nature and the universe. The belief that gross national product must continually grow is foolish. It results in unwise use of resources and technology. Consumer goods are littering the planet with plastics. Responsibility is key. We need to shift our thinking to realizing that we can have abundance, but we have to use it responsibly. What we're doing to the planet just breaks my heart. I live in British Columbia, where the government's forestry department has just become a tool of the forest industry, which is all about extraction of resources. We still have a colonial mentality of taking rather than finding ways to live with and in harmony with other systems. And scientists these days are not as independent as they once were. They can't just dedicate themselves to pure knowledge because the corporations that are funding the universities have a certain direction that they want to see developed. But I'd like to go back to something you were saying about a universal approach to healthcare. If we had had a unified intention to develop technologies in harmony with nature, including in healthcare, and if there weren't this ignorance about the life force, people's immune systems would be a lot stronger. I have seen the results of the health sciences practitioners who are working with the life force instead of against it. It's helped my own personal health to have been the beneficiary of these sorts of approaches to health. Felicity's next question. Perhaps we could look at some of the new ways in which inventors are generating energy. And Jean's reply. The first inventor I met used magnetism to create motion, turning a shaft to generate electricity. Others are working on solid-state devices. A solid-state circuit can be built in such a way that it's working with the principles of electrical resonance. It's been proven by some of the researchers that they are getting more electrical output than they put in. One of them, the late Floyd Sweet, was putting out an amazing amount of energy compared to the input. The most cautious, conservative report by a credible witness to Sweet's device was that a tiny electrical signal triggered an electrical output at least four times as powerful. Sweet claimed to have measured outputs that were a million times more electricity than what was input. The book Hidden Energy also chronicles more recent solid-state experiments, such as the Manalis device, which charged the batteries of an electric car. There are other varieties of the energy technology. There's plasma reactions and working with water in ways where it isn't standard electrolysis, but rather working in ways that a thundercloud works with microscopic implosions and the etheric energy rushing in at those points. That's pretty technical, but the basic problem the inventors run up against is everybody knows you can't have a free lunch. That idea is really drilled into us. However, the energy inventors and the scientists who are working on the theory to understand what it is that the inventors are doing are dealing with open systems as opposed to the closed systems idea, which says you can't have more output than input. Well, solar power operates in an open system. You don't put the photovoltaics in a box and isolate it from the environment. It's actually in the environment that the input comes from, that is, the sun's rays. Wind power, too, operates in an open system where there's energy coming in from the environment. Solar and wind are unreliable in contrast to converters of etheric energy. They don't need sunlight or wind, and they work day and night. And with the smaller new energy generators, we don't have to mine all those metals that it takes to create giant windmills, for instance. There's so much ignorance being exhibited in today's choices, whether it is in healthcare or energy sciences. And the worst of all, in my opinion, is the big push right now towards more nuclear power. You find that now in the environmental community, even in people who really want answers to the problems that beset our environment. Their concern is the amount of carbon being released into the atmosphere. So they see nuclear fission as the answer, but it is not. It is not the answer. It is so irresponsible to future generations, let alone our own. Even if they use the small modular nuclear reactors, which are all the big buzzword right now, they're still dealing with nuclear radioactive material, and this is not the legacy to leave our children and grandchildren. And Felicity Elliott's next question. I notice that you make the point that a lot of the old technologies and the old ways of creating energy are based on violent or aggressive approaches, the splitting of the atom, for instance. What you are pointing to, and all of the pioneering new energy that scientists are investigating, is a less aggressive way of approaching the generation of energy. You may know that Benjamin Krem and the inspirers behind him, who we refer to as the Masters of Wisdom, were quite clear about nuclear energy. Nuclear energy, as it is now based on nuclear fission, is a disaster for the planet, for the human frame and our immune system. It was Benjamin Krem's information that the effects of nuclear radiation on a person's etheric body, which are not yet being picked up by medical science, are showing themselves in diseases of the immune system and in devastating consequences in the nervous system, so that we see an increase in people suffering from Alzheimer's disease at a much younger age. Many of the energy scientists you worked with and studied also seem to be investigating fusion, the use of water, and other methods to generate energy. In Jean's reply, the fusion method that is considered at present by big science is also harmful. It too is a violent method. Particle accelerators use violence against the atom. The problem is that big science enjoys all the big money. Meanwhile, the small-scale reactions found in the new inventions are more likely to be in harmony with the way nature works. And that, unfortunately, is all we have time for. I might just read the very last little bit of information. The book, again, is called Hidden Energy, Tesla-Inspired Inventors and a Mindful Path to Energy Abundance by Jean Manning and Susan Manowich. It's published by Friesen Press Canada in September 2019. And if you'd like more information about the book, check out the website genemanning.com. Thank you very much for listening and have a lovely week.